Minutes past 11 on Wednesday evening. Have you seen this story today? More than 300,000 attempts were made to access pornographic websites at the Houses of Parliament in the last 12 months. That's according to official records. The data was released following a Freedom of Information request by the website Huffington Post UK. Asa Bennett joins us from Huffington Post. What made you ask for this information in the first place then? Were you just a bit suspicious one day in the office?
I think I was just a bit suspicious, and perhaps the, well, when David Cameron's been floating this idea of an opt-in for accessing pornography on the internet, and with this whole trying to protect the children style sort of initiative of his, it seemed interesting to wonder, you know, what's it like back in Parliament? What's it like in the bunker as such? Are they, you know, similarly tempted, shall we say? And it seems, my gosh, they are, in the sense that they're accessing, what, obviously 300,000 times since last May, and that breaks down to sort of 820 times a day.
Now, we don't know who's responsible for this, right? But one of the justifications I've heard today, not justifications, but explanations, is that they're not all purposeful requests, that there have been some pop-ups and some of the way that the software works might have led to this. Any of those wash with you?
Well, they're interesting, but they're not relevant in this case, because it seems like one of those very charming sort of accidental whoops, I've stumbled upon a bit of a dodgy website or something. Because obviously in your day-to-day research for something, if you're looking at something, well, like maybe a normal sort of newspaper website, it's not really going to link to something that normally should be classed as pornographic. But then the problem is actually that there is a slight point in one thing of, well, it's a question of what is pornographic in their definition. And the trouble is Parliament are refusing to let on because it will jeopardize their IT security, apparently. And so I've had people tell me it could range from let's just say something downright sort of dodgy, should we say, to something as seemingly innocent as just some art or the Venus de Milo.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, as you mentioned with David Cameron looking into these policies, that then might there have been some genuine research going on?
Some genuine research, of course, but then obviously the amount is quite startling then, isn't it?
Asa Bennett from the Huffington Post, thank you very much for talking to us. As I was saying to Asa, we don't really know who's responsible for this. House of Commons official said the figures are not all purposeful requests. They may have been exaggerated by third-party software and websites that reload themselves. Let's get a view of that then from technology expert Rajesh Joshi. What do you make about the explanation?
Well, I think that the key thing is, what do you categorise as pornographic? And the way these systems tend to work is that you have a filter, which is a piece of software that goes between your computer and the internet. And that essentially is the arbiter of what decides what's pornographic. Now, the problem is that these filters are typically programmed by, you know, they're programmed on the very safe side, and they're programmed not just with a blacklist of known pornographic websites, but they're also programmed with a range of keywords that can be used to trigger the filters. So, for example, if you're searching for information about, say, sexual health or even LGBT, you know, lesbian and gay issues, these things can trigger these overly sensitive filters. And that's potentially what may have happened in this case.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that someone's gone to a porn site?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be entirely honest, we don't really know what kind of technology that they're running in the House of Commons, and obviously they've decided not to tell us. But the most common types of filters that are in use are based on keywords rather than necessarily just a list of pornographic websites. So even if you're, say, looking at building regulations and you're looking at the erection of buildings, that could potentially trigger a filter.
Yeah, do you know, it's funny you should mention that, because that exact example was given by someone in our office earlier as triggering a filter in a former job that they had.
It's very common that words which have many meanings are used to trigger these filters. But also, you know, far more things like, for example, as I mentioned already, sexual health, or even research information.
Yeah.
For example, research information about historic sexual offences, because I believe there's currently a law being looked at to remove historic sexual offences. These kinds of words are going to trigger filters that are very poorly designed and poorly programmed. And these are the similar kinds of filters that the government is looking to force upon citizens in the UK.
So what's the answer here then? The filters need to be more sophisticated, do they, or is it how they're implemented?
I think it's I think it's difficult. One argument is that parliamentarians should have unfettered access to all the information that they can, because it's part of their research. If people are looking up unsavory websites at work, then is that really a technology filtering issue, or is it a management issue? Is there no oversight of these people who are looking up information during work hours?
Thank you very much for talking to us. That's Rajesh Joshi, who is a technology expert, 17 minutes past 11.
The Late News Hour with